So you know how sometimes when you do something new, you know, the first time around the block works out okay, and you start thinking, hey, this is great, I'm a natural. And then you gear up for round two, and all of a sudden it hits you like, what are you even doing right now? Well, I have reached my second show as the host of The Splendid Table, and I realized I could really use some advice. So I wanted to talk to Chris Thiele. Chris is a genius of a musician, songwriter, and an aspiring master of pasta cacio e pepe, which he says after a lifetime of touring is the only dish he knows how to make. But more to the point today, he's the new host of A Prairie Home Companion, taking over last fall as host of the show after 40-some years of Garrison Keillor at the helm. So, Chris, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, man, thank you very much for having me, and congratulations.
Well, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
This segment could just be 6 minutes of us saying congratulations to each other.
Man, you're doing great. you're doing great.
So I feel like I have a little bit of an easier job than you because Lynn hosted The Splendid Table for only 20-something years, not 40-something. But many people, including me, adore her. And
me.
Yeah. And I don't want to screw this up for you or for me or for her or for anyone else. So do you have any advice for me and what it's like taking over a show from someone who's so beloved?
I did this exact same thing to Trevor Noah, who was on Prairie Home Companion and who, of course, succeeded Jon Stewart as host of The Daily Show. And so I think what we should call these little segments, I think we should call them How to Succeed at Succeeding.
Yeah.
What do you think? The thing is, I think both of us are, assuming the helm of these programs that have provided people with so much comfort for so long. I did an interview with Garrison where we were sitting on a bench that overlooked the reservoir in Central Park. Mm-hmm. And he started drawing a parallel between the show and the reservoir in that he lives very close to the reservoir and goes for a walk every morning around it. And a lot of people do that. And he started talking about how he felt like a lot of people use A Prairie Home Companion for that. And I have used Splendid Table for that for many, many years. And so to me, our real challenge here is how do we maintain the, Garrison's reservoir, our respective versions of that, while of course, trying to make the show our own, because, you trying to do this like Lynn did it will result in something that is necessarily second best, because Lynn's Lynn, you're Francis.
Right.
Me trying to host A Prairie Home Companion like Garrison, obviously it's the same situation. I could never be Garrison Keillor. And me trying to do my best Garrison Keillor impression is just not going to be satisfying.
Right.
So that's, I don't know about any specific advice other than the listening process is very different. You don't buy a ticket. It's just that oftentimes what happens is you're in the car and, it's like, oh, it's Prairie Home Companion time. I'll turn on the radio. That's very different than saying, Prairie Home Companion's in town. I'm going to buy a ticket and go check it out. I think that's been something to get used to. So in a way, the performance is actually more collaborative. You're not performing for them so much as with them, that you're a part of their week.
Yeah.
You've come to them as opposed to them coming to you.
Yeah. This brings me to something you said before, this idea of comfort. It's not just that people are used to Garrison or Lynn and their voices and their perspectives, but there's something about our shows that I think provide a lot of listeners with, a sense of consistency and comfort, to use that word.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also have, real respect for the power of food. And part of what that means to me is that, talking about food isn't always going to be, hey, that's delicious. How do you make that? And certainly the show explores food in a lot of different ways and always has. But, I also feel like food touches on every part of our lives. And, sometimes it tells a story that's a little bit harder to hear. And even though that's still really enriching, it can be, tougher or more complicated. And a few weeks ago, I was listening to your show. And a song really, really struck me. It's the song Falsetto. And here are some of the lyrics. And it's probably less fun to hear me read them than it would be to hear you sing them. But some of the lyrics go, shut up and sing in falsetto. Sing in falsetto, falling from the highest heights, like the ribbons running through your vibey vintage mics. Everything's going great. You should be super psyched. Put the false in falsetto. Let your voice go gentle into this good night. The further it goes up, the faster it can fall in line. You entertainers need to keep the entertainment light. So, food and music, I think, are similarly powerful in that they can both do so much to us emotionally. But hearing that lyric, you should be super psyched. And thinking about the privilege I have to do what I love for a living, and part of me, it really made me think about it. Hey, like, do we have a responsibility to just give people an hour, 2 hours of fun?
Like respite.
Yeah.
Like an oasis or sanctuary or something.
Even though in my mind, like I said, food touches
sometimes
every aspect of our lives. And so it's the good, the bad, the complicated, the tense, all that stuff.
Oh, man, sometimes it's inseparable, right? But I man, those are the best questions. The best questions. So in that song, you know, as that very chorus, the first time the chorus appears, it appears right there, and the end of it is everything's going great. Mm-hmm. You should be super psyched. And then the second chorus expands, and that what gets said after can change the meaning. Yeah. But like, so immediately after, everything is going great, you should be super psyched. And there's, you know, some hooks and things, and then all of a sudden, put the false in falsetto, let your voice go gentle into this good night. The further up it goes, the faster it can fall in line. Obviously, now I'm like starting to say, mm-hmm. I'm opening my big mouth in the middle of that song. But, you know, the juxtaposition between the two views that are sort of going back and forth during that song, that's, you know, intentionally trying to get this exact kind of conversation started of like, you know, the value of escapism. There is beauty in escapism and just like taking a break so that you have the strength to get, as Garrison might say, to get up and do what needs to be done after like the 2 hours we have, or you guys have an hour, right? Is that, and then there's also value in having that conversation in the midst of that respite.
That's really interesting. And I think about that, and I recognize, like, oh, there is a real responsibility that I have to the listener. And obviously, I've been a writer. I've done other things where it's about, the point of it is about communication. If you write the most beautiful story in the world to you and you don't write it in a way that invites people into it,
it's
fundamentally worthless, right? You can make something, but the thing only has meaning if there's someone on the other side to make meaning of it.
Oh man, preach. That is, yes, yes.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, Chris, and good luck to both of us to figuring it
all
out.
Right? Oh, man, Francis. Well, let's do it again. We'll talk about food.
Yeah, we'll talk about cacio e pepe next time.
Oh, yes. I want tips. I want tips.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Francis. It was fun.
Shut up and sing in falsetto, falling from the highest heights, like the ribbons running through your vibe and vintage mics. Everything is going great, you should be super psyched.
Chris Thiele is the host of A Prairie Home Companion. Well, that's the show for this week. Thank you for listening, and until next time, I wish you good food and good conversation.